Biltmore Oswald, The Diary of a Hapless Recruit by Thorin Smith. June 29th. I met a very pleasant dog yesterday, whom I called Mr. Fogarty because of a sober countenance and the benign but rather puzzled expression in his large, limpid eyes, which were almost completely hidden by his bangs. He was evidently a visitor in camp, so I took him around and introduced him to the rest of the dogs and several of the better sort of goats. In all of these he displayed a friendly but dignified interest, seeming to question them on the life of the camp, how they liked the Navy, and what they thought were the prospects for an early peace. He refused to be separated from me, however, and even broke into the mess hall, from which he was unceremoniously ejected, but not before he had gotten half of my ration. In some strange manner he must have found out from one of the other dogs my name and address and exactly where I swung. For in the middle of the night I awoke to hear a lonesome whining in the darkness beneath my hammock, and then the sniff-sniff of an investigating nose. As I know how it feels to be lonely in a big black barracks in the dead of night, I carefully descended to the deck and collected this animal. It was my old friend Mr. Fogarty, and he was quite overjoyed at having once more found me. After licking my face in gratitude, he sat back on his haunches and waited for me to do something amusing. I didn't have the heart to leave him there in the darkness. Dogs have a certain way about them that gets me every time. I lifted Mr. Fogarty, a huge hulk of a dog, with much care, and, adjusting of overlapping paws into my hammock, and received a kiss in the eye for my trouble. Then I followed Mr. Fogarty into the hammock and resumed my slumber, but not with much comfort. Mr. Fogarty is a large, sprawly dog, who evidently had been used to sleeping in vast spaces and who sees no reason for changing a lifelong habit. Consequently, he considered me in the nature of a piece of gratifying upholstery. He slept with his hind legs on my stomach and his front paws propped against my chin. When he scratched, as he not infrequently did, what I decided must be a flea, his hind leg bent upon the canvas and produced a noise not unlike a drum. Thus we slept, but through some miscalculation I must have slept over, for it seems that the master-at-arms, a very large and capable Irishman, came and shook my hammock. "Hit the deck, sailor," he said. "Shake a leg, shake a leg." At this point Mr. Fogarty took it upon himself to peer over the side of the hammock to see who this disturber of the peace and quiet could be. This was just a little out of the line of duty for the Jimmy Legs, and I can't say as I blame him for his conduct under rather trying circumstances. Mr. Fogarty has a large, shaggy head, not unlike a lion's, and his mouth, too, is quite large and contains some very long and sharp teeth. It seems that Mr. Fogarty, still heavy with slumber, quite naturally yawned into the horrified face of the Jimmy Legs, who, mistaking the operation for a hostile demonstration, retreated from the barracks with an admirable rapidity for one so large, crying in a distracted voice as he did so, "By the saints, it's a beast he's turned into during the night! Sure, it's a visitation of Providence, heaven preserve us!" It seems I have been washing hammocks ever since. Mr. Fogarty sits around and wonders what it's all about. I like Fogarty, but he gets me in trouble, and in this I need no help whatsoever.